Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart,
one heart,
one mind,
one mind, one soul at a time.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, good morning once again, and welcome to our second week of our Faith in Action series, The Universe is Calling. You know, this theme, the universe calling us, is particularly relevant as we look at the challenges our country and our world is facing today. Because challenges are often a call from this grand universe that is telling us in so many words, there is an opportunity for each one of us, all of us collectively, to go deeper into the infinite potential of the Spirit of the living God so we can express more of who and what we truly are. I would say nowadays the universe is banging and knocking and calling our name. We've got to answer. We've got to answer if we're going to create a world that indeed works for everyone. And we must put our faith in that goal. We must put our faith in action, so to speak. As I mentioned last week, that we have all the faith we're ever going to have. It is fully operational right now because we are directing our faith energy somewhere, and where we direct it is based upon the content of our consciousness. To remind you of something Eric Butterworth said, is that is life is consciousness, and it's religion in three words. And so along that line, today's topic is a journey in consciousness. And consciousness is simply the total of our beliefs. Consciousness is the foundation of all our experiences. That's because our consciousness determines the thoughts we think, which in turn influence our emotional state. And those states determine actions that we take or don't take at times in our life. And our actions dictate our life experiences. You know, this week we explore the concept of karma, also known as the law of cause and effect or the law of compensation. You know, these terms are often used interchangeably, and although they're related, they're not exactly the same because karma can be changed. It is not fixed. It is not inevitable. It can be interrupted. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But we know that karma has been bandied around a lot the last couple of weeks. You know, we're looking at the law of karma, the law of cause and effect, and you know, heard that this law has been said in many different ways, in many different languages. We may have heard the phrase, as you give, so you get. What goes around comes around. The measure you give will be the measure that you will get back. In the Bible it says, you shall sow, so shall you sow, so shall you reap. Or simply, as some people say, karma is going to get you. All those statements reflect a fundamental principle of the universe that's reminding us that things don't just happen. They happen just. They happen according to the state and the vibration that is consistently held in our awareness. You know, when I think of this concept of karma or cause and effect, I'm reminded of a story in the Bible about the unforgiving servant that's found in Matthew, I think the 18th chapter, 21st verse. And the disciple Peter came to the master teacher Jesus, and he wanted to know how many times should he forgive someone who transgressed against him. How many times someone may have sinned against him, which means to miss the mark, someone who had wronged him. And he asked Jesus, well, should it be about 7 times? That sounds pretty good. And Jesus, nah, you ought to forgive about 70 times 7. In other words, you have to forgive infinitely. And then Jesus told him a story about getting to that higher place of consciousness, getting to this higher place of good called heaven. And he tells him about a certain king who wanted to collect a debt from one of his servants. And the servant owed him, I would say, let's just say $1,000. But the servant couldn't pay. And because he couldn't pay, the king ordered that the servant be sold along with his wife and his children and everything that the servant owned. And according to the story, the servant fell down and knelt on his knees before the king and said, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything that I owe you." And the story says the king was moved by the servant's sincerity, that he felt compassion for him. And so he released him and forgave him of the debt. But the story goes on and says that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, his co-worker, so to speak, who owed him just $100. And he grabbed him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe." And so this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." But that first servant wouldn't have it, and he cast him into prison until he could pay him back all that he was due him, the $100. And so when all the other servants saw what was done, they were distressed by the hypocrisy, and so they came to the king and told him what was done. I guess they were snitches. And the king called him in and said to him, "You ungrateful servant, I forgave you all of your debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant, even as I have had mercy on you?" And the king was obviously upset. He was angry. And he turned that servant over to his tormentors until he could pay what was due the king. And the king said to him, "That's what the universe will do to you if you give out that kind of energy." Those are my words, my interpretation. But it says more clearly in Galatians, the 6th chapter and 7th verse, "Do not be deceived. The universe or God is not mocked. For whatever you reap, you shall sow." That's the law of cause and effect, the law of compensation in a nutshell. But this not only applies when things happen bad to a person. You know, a lot of times when something goes good or happens that's good to another person, we might say, "He or she were lucky. They were just in the right place at the right time." But how did they get to the right place at the right time? They had to vibrate at that level to be where they were receiving that good. You know, I always think about my son now who's grown, but I still remember from time to time when he was young and we used to go to, you know, a place where the little kids used to go called Chuck E. Cheese. I'm sure if you had kids or grandkids, you may know that place. They loved Chuck E. Cheese. And when we went there, there was a little girl that was also there. We didn't know her, but apparently had crossed paths with my son. And she realized that she didn't have any tokens that allow her to play on any of the games. And so Jalen gave him a few of his tokens, and we went about our business. And a few moments later, she came rushing back to Jalen with all of these tickets that she had won as a result of being part of the games, and just gave it back to him. And to me, that was an instant demonstration that whatever we give out comes back to us. Sometimes what we send out can come back to us right away. Sometimes it takes a while before it does, in fact, come back to us, but that's how the law works. You know, what is initially set in motion as a cause eventually comes to harvest as an effect. As we sow, so shall we reap. So remember, whatever seed that we plant will one day come to flower. Our lives, all life, the whole universe, at any given moment is always rife with effects of causes previously set in motion. So we remember the thoughts that we think, the feelings that we radiate, the words that we speak, the actions that we take are causes that we set in motion and an eventual effect that will happen in our life. And of course, what we want to do is get in tune with the ever-expanding good of the presence, the ever-expanding good of the universe. And one way to avail ourselves to this good is through the law of compensation, the law of cause and effect, the law of karma. You know, I remember once I received a call from someone who had heard about these teachings, had heard about me. He didn't know about much either, but what he said, you know, I'm sick and tired of the work I'm doing. And every time I start sending out, you know, resumes and going to interviews, things start falling apart at the last minute. And he was asking me, what's going on? As if I knew. But I thought about it for a moment. I said, well, you know, you got to fully occupy where you are. You got to kind of go where you are working right now and give more than you're temporarily compensated for. And when you do that, you will put the universe in your debt. And as Ralph Waldo Emerson reminds us that when you put the universe in your debt, the universe has to balance the sheet, has to balance the books. Which means one of two things. The universe will either push you to another level of self-expression or move you to another level of self-expression. This is principle. This is how it works. Either the space will expand or you'll expand beyond the space. So when you give more than you're temporarily receiving, the universe has to fulfill itself through you. Like I said, through either expanding the space or expanding you beyond the space. And we can set in motion a new cause. We can consciously choose these causes. Now, understand that sometimes we think that we're choosing, when in fact we're not. People think they're choosing, they're not. Interesting, most people, maybe you not one of them necessarily, are reactors. They think they're making a free and independent choice. But many are living from the past, past experience, past hurt, past denials. And they're bringing those past experiences into the present moment, reacting to things of the world set in motion as an effect. They're not conscious of that effect. And they think they're acting independently, but they're merely reacting to circumstance. In order for their choice to be free, they have to do something, because without increasing their awareness of who and what they really are, they're not making a choice. And in order to truly choose, we have to be aware. Lack of awareness leads to reaction to circumstance. It leads to reaction to historical perception or perspective or history. Perhaps you can think of an individual who's highly volatile, highly reactionary. Maybe you've been in that place from time to time. That whenever anything in the external world seems to not to be going according to the way they think it should, not going according to their plan, there's an adverse reaction. And they think they're choosing when in fact all they're doing is responding from the surface of who they are, from their surface awareness that is often based upon fear and doubt and worry or a belief that God has stopped being in control of the universe. You and I must be conscious in order to make a true choice. And to the degree we pray for an increasing awareness of our oneness with the Spirit We have a choice to respond to the deeper nature of our being, from a deeper realm of our prayer work. And regardless of what's going on, we can respond from that sense of eternity, that sense of being divinely guided from the moment we say and do the right thing. And when we do that, we watch as this universe, this eternity breaks into time for us. And when we have that, when we begin to respond from that space, healings happen. Revelations of the Spirit take place. Now, here's the thing about the law of cause and effect, or karma. While we do reap what we sow, not every thought and action we take comes back to haunt us. Thank goodness. Because karma is often interrupted by grace. You know, as Butler points out in a very short 4-page chapter of his book, that God's desire to express through you as you is so great that you never completely reap the harvest of error. You always reap more good than you sow. Grace is God's love in action. It is the universe working for you and me, even when we're working against ourselves. I can say from personal experience, as an individual who made every mistake a human being could possibly make, engaged in self-destructive addictions, and lived to talk about all of it, I want to let you know that grace is real. You know, when we may be doing our best to self-destruct, we may be doing it consciously or unconsciously, grace, which is the universe's love in action, is always seeking to fulfill itself and all its qualities in you and me. This force is so great that we never completely reap the harvest of our destructive thoughts and our destructive actions. Because of grace, we always reap more than we ever sow. You know, just even if we eat horribly, if we don't exercise, grace tilts us toward health anyway. Even though we may think and speak badly of other people and spew forth sometimes negative words, negative energy, grace prevents us from experiencing the full effect of the energy that we sow. Grace is that force in the universe that is always working to bring out in each of us the realization of our oneness with God and all the benefits of that realization. Grace is always present. It's constantly operating. We can't earn it. We can't make it happen. Grace just is. And because it just is, it is impossible to stop it, even when we deliberately attempt to do so. Probably the best thing for us to do is to accept it, to consent to grace. It's like rowing a boat with the flow of the current of the stream. The flow aids our effort, but it's not us that creates the flow. Our job is to be an instrument of it, to behold it, to accept it, to consent to it, so that you and I may do our thing and allow it to do its thing through and as us. You know, as we close out for today, we remember that life is consciousness. We remember that. And we want to do all we can do to shape a consciousness that makes it inevitable that the will of God, the vibration of the force, the guidance of the universe comes through us. We want to make that result inevitable through our thoughts, actions, and our prayer work. You know, in the Aramaic language, there's a term for prayer that comes from the word slotha, which means to set a trap. We want our consciousness to be a trap for all the good in the universe. You know, when the master teacher was teaching about prayer, what he was really doing is saying, set a mental trap for the ideas of the Spirit. Make yourself receptive and become available for the idea, the perfect pattern that we have forgotten when we get caught up in circumstances. Jesus was saying, set a trap. All the avatars are basically say, when we engage in prayer, set a trap, become receptive, and say in substance, universe, here I am. I'm listening. I'm in expectation. And in that being available for this presence, we have set a trap for the infinite, for the universe, and the ideas that are percolating and pouring forth in this grand environment we call God to move through us. As we do, suddenly we see differently. In the midst of the circumstance, in the midst of the seeming problem, in the disease, in the seeming calamity, wherever the calamity or whatever the calamity may be, behind that we see the idea. We have set a trap in consciousness and it has caught us. When you walk in faith, when you walk in the awareness as this idea becomes more real to you, it becomes more real than the chair you're sitting on. It's more real to you than the phone, the TV or tablet or computer you're watching from or listening on. In consciousness, you want to set a trap so that you can see as God sees, that you can be in common union with this grand universe and not be hypnotized by the highly charged thought forms and common beliefs of our day that bombard us in so many different ways today. When someone may say to you, you know, you're going to need 5 years of therapy to deal with that because your consciousness is clear. You can say, the truth of me is that I'm a perfect expression and all is possible in a twinkling of an eye and in the grace of this pure spirit of God. And we can say, I affirm freedom. Someone may say, when you get a certain disease, there's a rapid deterioration and there's nothing you can do about it. And you can say, in truth, I am whole, and as a child of God, I do not inherit sickness. I affirm healing and the grace of God as my life. Someone may be saying, as we go through the challenges today, you know, you're hard to employ, and you say, God did not make a spare part, and I'm open to the grace of God, and I affirm my place in the divine plan. So we do our work in consciousness by lowly listening, by meditating, then affirming what we are listening to so our consciousness resonates with the truth that liberates and sets us free. The Spirit of the living God through grace will then add the increase. That is our journey in consciousness. And so it is. And so we let it be.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is. And all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives.